I love you, Matt.
Man, I am so intimidated right now. That was awesome. Man, that was the best. You guys are probably in kids' church by now, but that was the best welcome I've ever received in my life. And I'm just trying to find the one that she didn't read out. Matt is the coolest pastor in the whole world. I can make up whatever I want, really, for that one, right? Wow. Jee-hoo! Well, if I had a hat, I'd take it off to all the mums. Being a mum, I've tried being a mum for a day, and it was way too hard for me. And being a mum is just, I realize being a mum is a job that I can't do. And you have to be a mum to be a mum. And it is one of, if not the most important job in the world. And so I'm stoked that we have a day where we honor mums. And I just love that. I love that we honored women as well. I love that we honored women as the ones who carry the mother heart of God. And I love that. I love that in the kingdom, no one doesn't have a mum. Before I carry on, I love that we honored Kylie here. I think that's so good. I was just thinking about the fact that we have had the horrible honor, and I call it that, a horrible honor, of sowing into the great cloud of witnesses. And I also want to honor Mel and the Werohia family as well. I want to honor Pene and Puka, who were on the stage today leading us in worship. And I walked up on stage and I just had this sense of, this kind of weird sense of just how proud Mel is. Not would have been, but how proud Mel is to experience and see how well her family's going and how her family's going strong and worshiping the Lord and just walking with Jesus so well and pursuing their destiny and pursuing their calling so well. And you know, we have a great cloud of witnesses, and the actual word witnesses is really the word intercessors. More than it is witnesses. And it's an active present intercession is what it really means. And so what it's saying is like, hey, there's a great cloud of people who actually aren't far away, who are warring on your behalf from the heavens to the earth. And we live and move and have our being in Him. We've been raised in Christ's seated in heavenly places. So you're not going to heaven, you're in heaven. And there are others in heaven who you can't see. And they're right here in this room. And that's not what I'm talking about this morning. But I think it's a horrible privilege that we've had to, and it's a more horrible privilege to some people than others. But it's a horrible privilege to have sown some into the great cloud of witnesses. That our intercession team has grown dramatically. And my brother's up there too. He's hanging out. And I just want to honor those who have been sown into that ministry of intercession. And I want to honor them not as if they were in the room, but as they are actually in the room, in one sense. And I realize that may mess with some of you. If it does, just cogitate on that. And so, hey, it's an honor to be here. I want to actually speak. I'm stoked to speak on Mother's Day. They asked me in the Tuesday meeting if I would speak on, if you're keen to speak on Mother's Day. And I was like, hang yeah, I'm keen to speak on Mother's Day. I love speaking on Mother's Day for two reasons. I love mum. I love mums. No, I'm going to, more than two reasons. I love my mum. I love mums. I love the role of a mum. And I love the Holy Spirit. There's four. And also, I love that I always think of the fact that the Jesus movement began on Mother's Day. It exploded on Mother's Day. When Lonnie Frisbee came to the church, he began to preach a message on Mother's Day, and the Holy Spirit just went, whoomph. And then thousands and thousands of people were baptized on the beach, and this crazy move of God spread throughout the world, really. They say 70% of leaders in the US who are leading today in the body of Christ were born again in the Jesus People movement. And then Lonnie Frisbee backslid for a little while, but then he came back and he was asked to speak again on a Mother's Day some years later. And the weight of the Spirit on the Jesus People movement had kind of resided as he backslid. When he came back and he preached again on Mother's Day, the same outpouring happened again, woomph, on Mother's Day. And I think there's just something significant about another Jesus People movement, about Mother's Day, and not just Mother's Day, but about the role of a mum. Yeah. I love it that in the kingdom, no one is without a mum. I love it that for all of eternity, no one has ever been without a mum. There actually has always been a mum throughout all of eternity from beginning to end. Mum is an eternal role that's always existed, along with Father and Son. We say that the Trinity is a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit seems to be so mysterious, and you've got to understand that was written in a really masculine society. But if you actually look in the Hebrew and you look up all the references to the Holy Spirit, not one of them is written in a masculine form. They're all written in a feminine form. That actually we say he, but we actually probably more properly should be saying she. I don't expect you to do that all of a sudden. But actually it would be more biblical to say she than he. Because the Holy Spirit is, you women are carrying the mother heart of God, but the Holy Spirit is the mother heart of God. And so in one sense, we're all carrying the mother heart of God, and we're all walking in the presence of the mothership of God. So I just want to honor the Holy Spirit. I just want to talk about the Holy Spirit this morning. And I know this might be uncomfortable for you to hear, especially because we've always referred to the Holy Spirit as a he. And I realize that even may be hard to hear in and of itself. But I regardless of if you find this uncomfortable or not, I'm just going to say it anyway. I want to say happy Mother's Day to the Holy Spirit. And we're in a mothering season as a nation right now. Our prime minister is a woman, which is outstanding. She's also pregnant, which is prophetic. And the Holy Spirit is brooding and is over our nation right now, like a mother hen would be over her chicks right now. There's a brooding of the Spirit over our nation, and there's something that's being prepared to be born in our nation. And I just want to say yes to that. And I'm asking, Lord, I'm thinking, we're in the prayer meeting before, and I was just thinking, well, I was thinking about what to say, to be honest. And the reason for that is because I'm going to share some of my last 2 weeks in a second. But the reason for that is Burma, and then coming back from Burma, all I can think about is orphan kids. And then I get one day, and then boom, just launch into this extreme thing. And I've just come back from Tauranga. I've just been preaching at a conference. And I was just before that preaching at a thing, a Northern Leaders Gathering. And I was preaching like 500 times in the last 2 weeks. And then here I am, and I'm thinking, whoa, what am I going to say this morning? And I've kind of always got something to say, and that's cool. But I was asking the Lord, like, what should I share? And I was reminded of when we had our first baby, Ari, who was singing with Eva today, which I thought was so cool. And I was in Reading, and I was so excited, Bush, in my prayer time, and I was praying, and I was saying, God, I'm so excited. I'm not going to be a dad. I am a dad. I'm a dad. I haven't got to hold my baby yet, but my baby is about this big inside my wife's stomach, inside her tummy right now, inside her womb. My baby's like this big, but one day she's going to be standing right next to me, and she's going to be walking in who she's been called to be. She's going to be walking in a destiny that you've marked out for her. She's actually going to be changing the world and making it a better place. She's going to be walking with you, and I want to know, like, God, my baby's this big right now, but what does her life look like when she's this big, when she's got her own kids? And the Lord started to share with me all this stuff, which I won't share from here because I haven't even shared it with her. But she started to say to me, she will be a lioness. And then he said, you'll call her Ariella, the lioness of God. And I said, okay, so if we have a girl, I'm going to call her Ariella. So I'm in the bathroom one day, and I'm cleaning my teeth, and Nicholas Howard, who some of you know, he's been here to preach before, he comes in, it's the first time I met him, and he says, whoa, we're staying at the same house. He says, whoa, your angel's standing behind you. There's a big angel. And I'm like, whoa. Cool. I'm gonna put my toothbrush down. What does this angel look like? Well, tell me about this angel. He said its name is Leona. It's a lioness. It's got long blonde hair and it's got a roar. It's a worshiping angel. And it's called to do this, 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 and this. And it's gonna be a sign to your coming child's life. I don't know if you're having a girl or a boy, but it's gonna be a sign to your coming child's life. And I realized, this is my girl. Her name's Ariella, the lioness of God. And heaven has already assigned angelic help to the destiny for my child. And my child's this big. And I found myself praying, God, I want to know, what are you birthing into New Zealand right now? Like, what is the baby that is in the womb of our nation right now that we all get to play a part in raising and stewarding and seeing come to pass? Like, what is God birthing in the spirit right now? And I want to know what it is before it happens so we know how to partner with it. And I know that all the answers are in the Holy Spirit. So on that note, at the end of this message, where I want to get to is I just want the Holy Spirit to absolutely wreck you. That's where I want to get to. I want people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit this morning. That's where I'm going. And I just want you to find your space in Him in a new way. That's where I'm going. But the context of this message is I got back from Myanmar, as you know, and I was in Michina. And Michina is up north in the Kachin state of Myanmar. It's for the last 11 years, well, since before World War II, it's been in war. It had 7 years of peace, and then for the last 11 years, it's been heightened conflict in that place. And for the last 2 weeks before I got there, it was the worst it's been in 11 years. And I had an awesome time in Michina, and we saw God do amazing things. And we did this conference. I spoke at a wedding. I didn't know I was speaking at a wedding until I got there, and then they said, you're going to be preaching at a wedding. And I thought, I don't have a suit. And they said, don't worry about that. Just come and just preach whatever you want. I thought, okay, cool. And we just had an amazing time. I told you the story last week about the tumor that was like quite a sizable cancerous tumor that melted like wax out of someone's body. We had a number of deaf ears just open up. A bunch of people with the most amazing looking healed faces, you know, just that, oh. And just healed like old ladies, you know, like 90-year-old ladies just jumping off the stage, you know, just jumping up and down, healed of arthritis and things, just cool stuff, just watching people get wrecked by God. And at the wedding, we saw like 30 or 40 people give their hearts to Jesus for the first time at this wedding, just in the crowd. It's Kachin tribal wedding. The groom's got a sword. Like they're wearing like tribal clothing. It's just awesome. And the kitchen is like in mud, in the dirt, with like these fires and just big pots. And it was just, I loved it. It was so cool. And just watching God move was amazing. And then so there's that, and then there's this. And then over here there is the reality of tens of thousands of kids who no longer have a mom and dad on earth. Tens of thousands of kids who are living the reality of an orphan reality. And literally every second kid that I met didn't have any family anymore. And there are literally thousands of kids still in the jungle of this place who are running for their lives, Sienna, Mila's, Ari's age, and being hunted by the Burmese military. And I think, man, praise God for the tumors disappearing. Praise God for every single thing that God does. Because if we can't learn to be thankful with the small, we're never going to get the big. And so, God, I'm just going to thank you like crazy for the 30, 40 people that gave their hearts to Jesus, for the tumor that disappeared, for this, that, and that, for the people that received your love on that trip. At the same time, I'm going to hold this over here and say, God, there has to be more. Like, the world needs to change, and the change lives in you. The world needs, and I thank God that I am uncomfortably disturbed by what I saw in Myanmar. And I could have seen it in multiple different nations. I could see it in this nation if I walked around and had a look. But not as en masse as I saw it there. And I thought, God, everything has its renewal in you. Every answer is found in you, and you are in me, and you are in the people of my church. You are in the people of Bethel Church, and there are living, moving, alive answers that live on the inside of you that are yet undiscovered, but they're in him and you. And I just thought, God, I'm so stoked on what happened, but I'm also so hungry to see more. And I'm called to that country, and so I'm burning for that. But you're burning for something, and there is more, and it's actually alive on the inside of you. So I went fishing in Taupo Bay with Sean and Renita were there, but me and Renee went out one day, and we went fishing over New Year's, and we had such a good time fishing. And we were stoked because we were trying to find these fish. We caught a couple of snapper, and then we went out to the harbor entrance around the corner, and there was sort of nothing there. And we're like, man, we've got to find some fish, you know. And then we came back into Taupo Bay, and all of a sudden, there were just fish, like, jumping everywhere you looked, like just kawai boil-ups everywhere you look. And I had the setup for kawais. You know, I had this, the little white lure, you know, for those of you that like fishing, the little plastic white lure with the two hooks, like the $2 lure, which you can't get better than that lure for a kawai. That's just the ultimate lure. And it's the cheapest as well. And so I had my rod set up with that little whippersnapper on the end there. And perfect for kawai. And we start casting the line out, and we're just pulling kawai in. And they're so fun to catch. I don't care if you like eating them or not, but they're just so fun to catch. I like eating them. And they're also a bloody mess, a literal bloody mess. And so we were covered, especially me, from head to toe in blood, and just blood everywhere, just blood. And Renee's like, oh, stop, I don't want to look at it. And just blood. And oh, it was just awesome. My boat is just a different color now. And then at one point, I cast the lure out, and the rod goes, boof. And I lost it, you know, lost the lure. And what we think it was we could see underneath our boat, the kingfish just swimming underneath our boat. And I realized my rod wasn't set up to catch the kingfish that were available to be caught. It was set up for kawai, but it wasn't set up for kingfish. And I was like, oh man, I said to Renee, man, I wish I had a kingfish set up right now. This would be epic. I'd be catching kingfish right now. We'd be catching big boomshaka kingfish. And we're so stoked on the kawai, but man, there's kingfish right there. You can see them underneath the boat, but this little guy is not going to catch these big kingfish. The tackle just isn't strong enough to catch these guys. My rod's not set up for this. And I think, here's the thing. There are tumors disappearing in Myanmar. Just before that, there was someone with diabetes healed in this church. There's awesome stuff happening. The ones and twos are being saved. There's people coming to Christ. There's gang members coming to Christ, being experiencing the presence of the Holy Spirit. There's amazing stories to be told. We've all got stories of kawai that we've pulled into the boat, and we're all covered in a bit of the blood, a bit of the joy of the celebration of having some kawai in the boat. We've all partaken of catching kawai, but here's the thing, guys. There's kingfish. The kawai aren't the only things in the water. There's kingfish in the water. And I believe that God wants to upgrade our gear, upgrade our tackle, so that we can actually start hauling in the kings. And then God said to me, you know what? It's much more than kawai and kingfish. I think we're at kawai. I think God wants to take us to kingfish. But I feel like he said this. Actually, guys, he said, actually, Matt, it's actually time to put the fishing rod down. Because the harvest requires more than a single rod. It's actually a net that is required, because I don't want just the ones and twos or just the kings of the carwise. I want every fish in the bay. And for that, it means we got to put down our rods and pick up the net together and haul in a harvest. But God is preparing us for a harvest. He's preparing us for a harvest, and there's an upgrade in our gear, and there's an upgrade in our skill. There's an upgrade in the way that we even fish and the way that we even do life to be able to actually pull in the harvest that God has prepared for us to pull in. And there's an upgrade available. And simply what I'm saying is this, there is more. If you think that all there is in the ocean is kawai and that's all there is for you and you're satisfied with just a few kawai, that's awesome that you're enjoying catching kawai, but God wants you to know that there's actually more. And it's not just for Matt Lansdowne or a few other people who go overseas or whatever. It's for every single person in every single context. It's for what God's called you to. That there's more. And I felt like God wanted me to share on there's room for hunger in the kingdom, and that doesn't mean you're an orphan. Like, we've moved way away from a performance culture. We're not here to perform. I tell the worship guys, the team up there, I say, guys, this you're not a band, you're not doing a performance, you're leading people in worship. This is not a performance. This is the real deal. Like, we are really just loving Jesus. And we're not a performance culture. We're not like putting on a show. This is genuine, authentic. We're going after Jesus together. We're loving Jesus together. We're celebrating Jesus together. And we've preached lots of messages and lots of things on hey, like, sons don't need to strive. Servants always feel like they have to strive for more, but sons can just freely receive what they have been freely given. And that's true. But we've sometimes, I believe, we've moved so far away from this performance culture, and we've almost let that frighten us all the way over here to the point where we're actually afraid to be hungry for more. Because are we allowed to actually be hungry for more? And is that striving, and does that mean we're an orphan? Sons are hungry for more. Sons realize that there's actually more to experience in the family house, in the kingdom. You know, there's a difference between a son hunger and a beggar hunger. A beggar is hungering after more, not expecting to get anything. Not actually convinced that there's actually more available. The beggar, the orphan, is on the side of the road and he's saying, man, I'm probably not going to get anything, but I'm just going to cry out until I can get this one crumb. That's a hunger without a hope. That's a hunger without expectation. But there's a hunger of a son, and that's like the hunger, and I've shared this before many years ago, but that's like the hunger of a Matt Lansdowne coming back from a three-hour surf. Talking to his friend Sean in the car, which seems to be, the car ride seems to be way too long, even though it's only 10 minutes. And talking to Sean about, oh man, I'm so hungry right now. Man, are you hungry? And Sean's like, man, I'm so hungry right now. Oh, what's your favorite food? What's been your favorite food that you can remember? Oh man, I remember this eye fillet steak that was like, and I'm like, no, the favorite food for me was, there was that time I was in the Duke of Marlborough in Russell, and there was this marlin steak, you know, that was like seasoned on both sides, but just cooked and raw in the middle, and it had like this avocado thing to the side, and it was like a big beastie piece of marlin steak, and oh man, if I could just have that again. And then Sean's like, man, I remember a meal in another place that I had, and And oh, Renita cooked this meal one day. And oh, Renita's such a good cook, man. She's such a good cook. It was a raw meal, but it was so good. It was amazing. Oh, you should have, if I could break a piece of this off and just let you take, I don't know if it'll, it's just, I don't know. There was something, oh, so good. And then we're 2 minutes away from home and my stomach is just about to jump out of my face. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to get to the kitchen. But here's what it is. It's a hunger with hope. It's a hunger with a sure and joyful expectation for the very best outcome. It's a hunger with a hope of when I reach the kitchen, there's more in there. There's stuff in there. And when I get there, I'm going to actually take the stuff out of the cupboard and I'm going to prepare a meal and we are going to feast. Don't be afraid of hunger. Don't be afraid of like passionately pursuing God. Don't be afraid of even if it looks to other people maybe like you're striving for more, don't be afraid of that because there is more. You weren't born just for kawaii. You were born for more. We were born to pull in a whole bay. We were born to pull in a whole ocean. And I don't think we will until we actively, actually, realistically, concretely hunger after more together. Until our prayer meetings look like unstoppable prayer meetings. Not prayer meetings where we're waiting for, I wonder who's going to pray next. No, honestly, I'm just, boom. Take it. If that's you, just take it. Just take the challenge, man. Like, honestly, not prayer meeting. Like, prayer meeting is like where we're actually going after Jesus together. I know that was maybe raw for some people, but hey, so was the Marlin steak for me. Ephesians 2:22 says that we're a dwelling place for God in the Spirit. We're a dwelling place for God in the Spirit. I'm going to lay out the kitchen right now. I believe that there's room for hunger and God wants to stir hunger in this room. For me, he stirred in Myanmar in the faces of thousands of kids who no longer have a parent. And I'm like, I must find a solution for this. For you, I just want to, I don't know how the Holy Spirit wants to stir it in you, but I just want to, I want to see you stirred with hunger. And now I want to point you to where the kitchen is. So God wants to expand the kitchen. So we're a dwelling place for God in the Spirit. And then Isaiah 54 says this. So good to hear this, the sound of pages turning. Love it. Now, I want, if you're a woman and there's a grief in your heart today because you haven't been able to be a mum, I want you to take this literally. For everyone else, I want you to take this metaphorically. Sing, O barren, you who have not born, break forth into singing, Isaiah 54, and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. And now listen to this. And this is what I believe God's saying to us as a church. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Do not spare, guys. Don't like keep a little bit for yourself. Just put it all on the table. Just put it all on the table. All in. I love Mike. Can you hold your hand up with the all in? Mike's got a tattoo. I love tattoos. Mike's got a tattoo on his hand. It says all in. And it's in the most visible place possible. And I freaking love that. You shall expand to the right and the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Expand to the left and right. Expand the place of your dwelling. You're a dwelling place for God in the Spirit. And I believe that what God is wanting to do is he's wanting to expand the dwelling. He's wanting to expand the kitchen. He's wanting to expand the living room. He's wanting to expand the space. I remember when I was in Auckland many years ago and I learned a lesson of a cloud. And this is my cloud lesson. I was praying for a bunch of people for healing. And in the context, I'd seen almost every person I was praying for in this season of my life was being healed. And it didn't matter what. I remember hearing broken bones, the sound of kunk as I come back together underneath the cast of people just on the street, like crazy miracles almost every day. And And I got asked, my pastor asked if Matt come and pray for these guys. He called up all the sick people, praying for people, and people have been healed. I get to this one guy, and I'm feeling the cloud. I'm feeling that God is dwelling in me and on me and around me. I'm feeling the dwelling of God's presence. I'm feeling the Holy Spirit. I'm feeling the mother side of God. I'm feeling the father side of God. I'm feeling the son side of God. I'm feeling the Trinity around me. I'm feeling like I'm caught up in a great dance of the Father, Son, Spirit. I feel like the presence of God is around me the way we're all meant to feel all the time. I'm feeling that. And I get to this one person, and they say, oh, excuse me, stop. And I said, okay, what's going on? They said, listen, I just want to let you know before you pray that I don't believe I'm going to be healed today. I've just come out of obedience because God told me to come up here, but I have no faith that I'll be healed, and I just don't want you to be disappointed when I don't get healed. And I remember thinking, oh. Oh. And I walked up, and I remember feeling the reality of his cloud, and I let my attention be drawn to the reality of his cloud, and I actually lost my awareness of the cloud that I was carrying for the other 10 people. And I came under this cloud of disappointment, under this cloud of unbelief, under this cloud that this guy was carrying, prayed for him, he didn't get healed, and then I was just, I felt deflated. I went home and I said, God, I feel so, what happened there? And God said to me, Matt, you're called to carry my cloud and come under my cloud. You're not designed to come under any of those other clouds. And when you do, you're going to feel, but you're called to carry a cloud. And the way you carry the cloud is by putting your attention on that cloud. Whatever the cloud is that you put your attention on is the cloud that manifests through your life. And God wants to extend Aotearoa. God wants to extend the space of the cloud. God wants to enlarge the cloud, enlarge the dwelling, enlarge the space of God's inhabiting presence over us. I believe that every one of you has God's presence around you. Some of you, it goes about that far around you. Others of you, maybe it covers a whole city. But my prayer is that the space that God dwells in us with, that space, that cloud, that boundary, that dwelling of God's presence in the Spirit would actually expand until it covers nations. And I'm saying, God, thanks so much for the kawai. Thanks so much for the tumors disappearing. Thanks so much that I can walk up to someone and there's a so many foot, maybe a 6 or 7 foot circle of revival around me. Thank you so much that I can walk up to people and miracles happen and there's actually an evidence of the dwelling place of the Spirit around my life. But God, I can't wait for the day when, like Wigglesworth, I go drive through a city and every person in the city just falls to their knees and starts worshiping Jesus. I can't wait to carry a realm of a dwelling place of God that actually inhabits whole cities and nations when you go to them. And I can't wait to be part of a group of people who are walking like that. And I just want you to know there's more. And it's available. And he's here. Yeah, true. John 14 says this. Hope you guys are okay. John 14, says this, in verse 15, loving me, Passion Translation, loving me empowers you to obey my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Savior, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend just like me, and he will never leave you. The world won't receive him because they can't see him or know him. But you will know him intimately because he will make his home in you and will live inside you. Oh, I promise, Holy Spirit, thank you. I promise that I will never leave you helpless or abandon you as orphans. I will come back to you. Soon I will leave this world and they will see me no longer, but you will see me because I will live again and you will come alive too. And when the day comes, you will know that I am living in the Father and that you are one with me, for I will be living in you. Those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father. And I will passion. Now, it's not that God doesn't passionately love each person, but they will live in the manifestation of God's passionate love towards them. You're all loved by God, but not everyone experiences the concrete reality of that. But as you align with Islam, when you align with his love, when you align with his love and you come into alignment through a pursuit of him, then you begin to experience more of his concrete love towards you. And then verse 23, Jesus replied, loving me empowers you to obey my word, and my Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and make our dwelling place. But those who don't love me will not obey my words. The Father did not send me to speak my own revelation, but the words of my Father. I am telling you this while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Spirit of holiness, the one like me who sets you free, he will teach you all things in my name, and he will inspire you to remember every word I've told you. And then he just carries on. And then in Acts, oh, this is so good. And then in Acts chapter 1, it says this. Jesus says this. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait here until you receive the gift I told you about, the gift the Father has promised. For John baptized with water, but in a few days from now, you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Baptized meaning infused together, unified, brought into oneness, brought into, you can't tell where one ends and the other begins, brought into a fusion. It's a baptism is the original word for that word. Baptism is the word used for dyeing cloth, that there's red dye and there's white cloth, but when you dip the white cloth into the red dye, the white cloth transforms into a red cloth carrying the red dye. And the fiber of the cloth is so intermeshed into the red dye that the two have become one. It's no longer white cloth. And it's no longer just red dye. It's now red cloth. That's that word baptism. To be infused, to be baptized, to be pickled, to be absolutely, every cell of your being fused together with the cells of his being. To your world and his world, to not just be overlapping, but to be one. That his spirit and your spirit are one spirit. That your thoughts and his thoughts are not as separate as you think they might be. That he's literally one with you and he's made his home in you. And not just the Holy Spirit, but the Father and the Son in the Spirit alive on the inside of you. The whole Godhead alive on the inside of you and on the inside of us. I'm hungry for more, and there is a kitchen. We're not out on the side of the road somewhere with no home. We have a home and we are his home. We have a portable home. Everywhere we go, we're at home. Whether it's a war zone or whether it's back here in Whangarei at your own address that you reside in, you have a home. And your home is him and his home is you. And you're never alone and you're never an orphan. He would never leave you an orphan. You always have the seed of a son, the seed of a daughter. You always have access to more and you're always invited to eat more. And as you eat more, the place of your dwelling expands. Then in Acts chapter 2, it says this. On the day Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered in one place. Suddenly they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realm. The roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. Oh, bring it on, Jesus. Do it again. Like, can you imagine this? Like, can you imagine just being in Jerusalem and the sound of the wind? It's not like this little... an easily missable wind. It's like a It's like a Cyclone Katrina just whoom through the city to the point where it's all anyone. It's to the point that no one could bear any more than that. Oh, ho, ho, ho. To the point that actually it actually led. There were at least 3,000 people that followed that wind to an obscure little upper room. Can you think about that for a second? Everyone's just minding their own business in Jerusalem, doing the Passover thing and doing their celebration, getting ready. The time of Passover had come, and then all of a sudden, boom, this wind, and everyone's like, whoa. And everyone just starts walking for this upper room. In other words, it's such a definitive wind that people could follow it. It's not just a wind that was just all over. It's a specific definitive wind that was definitive enough for people to follow the wind to an upper room. This is pretty awesome. Just put yourself in those shoes for a second. The roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. Then all at once, a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them. They were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit and were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in the languages they had never heard. They had never learned. Now, at that time, there were Jews and da-da-da, and there were all these people from all these different places that spoke all these different languages, and they all heard the gospel preached in their own language. And then Peter stood up, who was once timid, who didn't have the capacity or the grace to do this 2 seconds before, but stood up and started to preach the gospel. And 3,000 people got saved. And I don't think it was just like they got moderately saved. I think it was like they got wildly born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. And their faith was not based in the reason of human wisdom. It wasn't based in a reasonable argument or a reasonable sermon. It was based in the power of God, like what Paul said. It was based in the power of the Spirit, and it wouldn't be possible for that to happen without the demonstration of the Spirit. The mother of God, not Mary, the mother side of God. I just want you to know there's more, and you have a home. You're not on the side of the road. I'm not wanting to stir a hunger inside of you that is without hope. I'm wanting to stir a hunger on the inside. If I could take all of you to that place and let you see the little kids' faces who have no mom and dad anymore, I would. And my prayer would be that it wouldn't fill you with hopelessness, but that it would drive you into a hunger for more that was burning with hope and expectation. Because there is more, and it is available to you. There is more, and it is available to you. Wait in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Which, by the way, that baptism is not meant to be a one-time thing. It's meant to be a being baptized, a continual baptism, a continual infilling, a continual expanding, a continual transformation, a continual percolation of God's Spirit over you. It's not just, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit in 2001 in my car. I am continually being baptized in the Spirit, living in a perpetual experience of a baptism of the Spirit. And if not, chances are you're going to be being overwhelmed by something else. Chances are you're under some other cloud that's not His cloud. And there's room this morning for you to just exchange your cloud back again. To just go, man, this cloud isn't working out for me. I want your cloud back. I want to walk under the presence again. I want to walk in an awareness of this fire of God, this passion of God. We can't be passionate for Him until we first experience His passion for us. And His passion for us is found in this. He has chosen to make you His space of dwelling. He has chosen you and has said, man, that's where I want to live, right there. Son and Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, living on the inside of you. Don't leave Jerusalem until you've received this promise. In other words, you are useless without this. You are loved without this. You are special without this. You are awesome without this. But you can't do anything without this. You know, don't even take one step out of the upper room. Stay hidden. Stay in the secret. Stay in the quiet. Stay. Don't even open. You're just going to make a mess if you leave Jerusalem without this gift. But when you receive the promise, go and change the world. And here's what I want to pray, guys. I want to pray that your life would look like if the Holy Spirit left you, you wouldn't know which way up is anymore. I want to pray that if that awareness of God leaves you, that it would be almost impossible for you to exist anymore. That the lifestyle that you live is so reliant on the fiery presence of God that if that leaves, what do I do now? I literally cannot exist. I literally cannot. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to be without this. That we literally live lives so reliant on His presence that we couldn't live outside of His presence. And not just the intellectual idea of His presence, but the concrete reality of His presence. And I'm not talking to you just if you're a missionary, but I'm talking to you if you're a bus driver, if you're a business owner, if you're a hairdresser, if you're a stay-at-home mum, if you're a fashion designer, if you're a missionary to Myanmar, if you're a doctor, if you're a human being, I'm talking to you. That you just wouldn't know how to live without His presence. So I just want to stir up a hunger for more. Can I get the worship team to come on up? I've made a point of trying to tone back my passion because I know that I'm just messed up from Burma. And and I have toned that back a little bit. But man, I am burning for more. And I'm only marginally apologetic if it challenges and makes you feel a bit uncomfortable. But I want you to know that you have a space, you have a place, you have a home. God dwells in you, but His dwelling, He wants to expand that. And so we're going to sing this song. And if you guys can just stand up with me, that would be amazing. Thank you. Thank you, God, for Kawai. God, thank you for the stuff that we've seen. Thank you for the breakthroughs we've had. God, thank you for the experiences in you that we've had. God, thank you for the love that we've received. God, thank you for the way we've encountered you. God, thank you for all the stories that are represented in this room. God, thank you for all the miracles that could be told in this room. Thank you for every kawai that's come in the boat. Thank you for every kawai that's come in the boat, Lord. Thank you for it all. Thank you for the evidence that you dwell here and that you're not absent. Thank you. Full stop.